You guys have such a difficult job, and we want to pay tribute to you today. You know, but on holidays like this, like Father's Day, Mother's Day, Christmas, I always try to be sensitive. Because for many of us, it's a celebration. But for some, I know out there, it's a difficult day. Maybe this is your first or second Mother's Day. You've lost your mom. Maybe you've been trying to get pregnant for a long time and want to have that desire to be a mother. And God just hasn't blessed you yet. And so we always try to be sensitive to that as well. And so today we're going to pay a special tribute to biblical motherhood. But we also want to understand that today's message is for everyone. As many of you know, I lost my mom. This is the fourth Mother's Day without her. And so my natural inclination during this time is to begin to get, you know, sad, because it's like, you know, I remember the Mother's Days and going and just spending that time. And now we don't have that. And so my natural inclination is to become saddened by this. But then I begin to learn to remember her. To remember her legacy, to remember what she instilled in me, and remember those times. And that's been real helpful to get me through that time, to remember my mom's legacy. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about biblical motherhood from a standpoint of legacy. And legacy applies to every one of us, whether you're a man or a woman, mother or not. We can all understand and comprehend the idea of biblical motherhood from a standpoint of legacy. And so that's what we're going to look at today is leaving a legacy. And so if you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Timothy. And so we're going to look at Timothy's mother. Now, I want to remind us what the book of 2 Timothy, the background of it. So Timothy is one of Paul's young proteges, and Paul met him in a town called Lystra whenever Paul was doing his missionary journey. So he brought him. We're going to look at that scripture in a second. But so Timothy has come under Paul, and Paul leaves him to pastor a church. And so Paul has been mentoring this guy. Timothy becomes a pastor, and now Paul is sitting in jail. Many scholars believe hours to his execution. He knows this is it. He knows that finally it's over. And he has time, as many scholars believe, to write one more letter. And he doesn't write it to the biggest church he's planted. He doesn't write it to the most influential church he's planted. Who's he write it to? His young protege. To me, this shows the power of discipleship right here. This shows the power of investing in somebody's life. This shows that Paul, in his last letter he can write, writes it to young Timothy. And so let's look at 1 Timothy. We're going to look in verses 5 through 7. He says, I remember. So he's remembering back. He's remembering back to Paul, to Timothy. He says, I remember your genuine faith, and for you share your faith, the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gifts God gave you when I laid my hand on you. For God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all of our mothers, Father. God, I know right now, Lord, that there are some mothers in here struggling, Father. That, Lord, there are some ladies in here struggling, Lord, wanting to become a mother, Father. And other ladies, Lord, who are mothers are struggling, God, because of just different things in their life, Father. God, and there's others in here struggling, Lord, because they've lost their mother, Lord. And this day represents, God, that mournful spirit. And so, Father, I just pray over this time, Lord, that your word will just come alive, Father, and that, Lord, your word will penetrate to the depths of our heart, Father. God, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I want to look at Timothy's mother, Eunice. You know, there's different scriptures that refer to her and give us a picture of where Timothy comes from. And so today I want to look at that and look at three things. Now, again, this is for motherhood, but it applies to every one of us. But three things about leaving a godly legacy. And the first one is a legacy of teaching God's word. A legacy of teaching God's word. Let's look at 2 Timothy a couple of chapters later in 2 Timothy 3:15-16. This is what Paul says. He says, "You have taught the Holy Script. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from your childhood." So this tells us that Eunice, who was an Orthodox Jew, that Eunice had converted when Timothy was young, and she began to teach the Scriptures to Timothy. And they had given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting Christ Jesus. Look at verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So Lois was probably the first one, the grandmother, to get saved. And then Eunice was right next to get saved. And so Timothy was a young boy, was a child. We don't know how old, but he was young. And so they began to teach him the scriptures, the importance of the scriptures, to know the scriptures. You know, because just as verse 16 says, God uses his word to straighten us out, to show us what is right and what is true. See, guys, we live in a society, we live in a world that says, well, it's about your feelings. If you feel this way, that's what's right. But Jeremiah 17:9 says, your feelings, your heart is deceitful above all else. Who can understand it? And so our feelings, our society says, go with how you feel. If you feel it, then do it. But scripture tells us no, because our feelings are misleading. Our feelings are deceitful. Our feelings can be swayed back and forth. You buy a new car, you feel great. You wreck that car, you feel terrible. Our feelings are tied by our circumstances. But we live in a society that says follow those feelings. So that's why so many people in our society today is tied to their circumstances, because they're following their feelings. And if they can just create good, positive circumstances in their life, then they'll feel great, good, and positive. But we all know life hits sometime. Life happens. And we're going to have negative circumstances. And so God's word isn't tied on those circumstances. God's word isn't dependent on what's going on in life. And so Lois and Eunice taught Timothy God's word. They demonstrated God's word. And as we're going to see real quick with our next passage, they lived it out in the face of turmoil. In the face of trials, in the face of opposition, they lived it out. They didn't just teach God's word, but they lived out God's word. That is why it is so vital that we demonstrate God's word to our kids. It's so vital because they're growing up in a world that is opposed to the truth of God. And so we teach it, but we also demonstrate it. We also must show what God's word looks like, because we're growing up in a society that's continuing to get further and further away from the truth of God's word. And so the mantra is, if it feels like it, then do it. What's the mantra going to be whenever our kids are this age? It's just going to continue to get further and further without us teaching God's word. And so the first one of legacy is teaching God's word. Look at what Proverbs 22:6 says. Direct your children on the right path, and when they grow older, they will not leave it. So Timothy is taught God's word at a young age. And he grows up to be a missionary. He grows up to be a pastor. He grows up and God's word is planted in there. You know, and so God's word was true and it lived out. Now I know we have some parents in the room who tried to raise your kids right. You tried to raise them in church. You tried to teach them God's word and they're astray right now. They're just living apart. And I just want to encourage you that, you know, we do have free will, but all we can do is teach God's word. That's our job. I was visiting with a friend this weekend, actually. And they were sharing their story about whenever their daughter reached teenager, they rebelled. I mean, she rebelled. She became such a rebel and just if you can dream it, she did it. All right. She was one of those. If you could think, man, that would be bad. She did it. And that's not an exaggeration. But she raised her in church and there were sleepless nights where she would think back and she was like, I tried to raise her the right way. I tried to teach God's word. Well, there came a point in this girl's life that she did something that there was no covering up. There was no coming back from. And so she's sitting in jail. And she writes her mom a letter. And as her mom's telling me this story, she's crying. In fact, she goes, gets the card to show me. Because she tells me, she says, you know, she's sitting in jail. And she says, Mom, I finally get it. I finally understand what you're talking about. I finally get it. Look at what Isaiah 55 says in verse 10 and 11. It says, the rain and snow come down from heaven and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word I send to you, is send it out, and it will always produce fruit. It will accomplish all I wanted and it will help prosper everywhere I send it. Other versions say God's word won't return void. In other words, God's word, you plant it and let God harvest it. And so we must understand that don't give up. If you have a teenager who's rebelling, if you have a teenager who's astray, don't give up. Continue to seek God's face, pray and teach them the scripture. The second thing about legacy is a legacy of faith, specifically through trials. They demonstrated faith, even though they had a lot of opposition coming up against them. Look at what Acts 16, 1 through 3 says. It says, Paul went to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. So Paul wanted him to join them on their missionary journey. So basically we see this. We see that Paul was raised, you know, and everybody thought well of him. But guess what? He grew up in Lystra. And let's look at what scripture says about Lystra in 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11, which is right where we were just at just a few verses before. It says, but you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know how much I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from it all. So we know that in Timothy's hometown of Lystra, that Paul was severely persecuted. Okay? And so Lystra was not a place, it was a Roman fortified city. So Lystra, where Timothy grew up, was not welcoming to the gospel. When Paul came, he was persecuted and beaten for it. So we know that Paul is, so Eunice is this mother and Lois is this grandmother who's trying to instill truth in young Timothy's life while they're living in a culture. They're living in the Roman culture that is brutal. We saw what they did to Jesus. It's brutal to Christianity. And so it's easy for us to get caught up in the moment of American culture and say, it's just terrible. Oh my goodness, America is so bad. Guys, this is not new, hostile towards Christianity. It's not new. Paul went through it. Paul was beaten and thrown in jail for his faith. Anybody ever had that happen to them? No. So with all due respect, we need to quit whining about that. Yes, our culture is becoming hostile to Christianity. Absolutely. But Scripture has been very clear. It was very hostile in Lystra. But Eunice, through those trials, demonstrated her faith. She still taught her son God's word despite the culture around her. She didn't let it get to her. She didn't let it affect what she was going to teach was right from wrong. She was going to demonstrate faith in God no matter what was going on. And look, just as we read in Acts 16:1, it's not just they're growing up in a Roman culture, but Timothy's father was also Greek, which was also hostile against Christianity. We've all heard of Greek mythology, right? So if Timothy's dad believed in any divine being, it was that. It was Greek mythology. If he believed in divinity at all. Okay, so you have this mom who's an Orthodox Jew, who obviously she wasn't practicing when she married the Greek. But now she gets saved by God's word. And so now she's growing up in a community that's hostile towards Christianity through the Roman culture. And she's married to a Greek who is hostile towards Christianity from the Greek culture. So they're in this room, they're in this house, and Timothy and Eunice is being hit all sides. But they persevere through faith. These outside attacks did not hinder. Eunice modeled God's word for Timothy. Her Christianity couldn't be complacent. It couldn't be, oh, we'll go to church when we can. It couldn't be, oh, we'll do it. No, it had to be devout. Either you believe this or you don't. Either you submit to God or you don't. It couldn't be this complacent Christianity. The greatest tool is not our words, but our walk. The greatest teaching tool that we have is not our words, but our walk. And through these fiery trials that was going on, through the attack from this Roman culture in Lystra, through the attack from the Greek husband in the home, Eunice stayed faithful. She stayed faithful. She stayed faithful, and she demonstrated to young Timothy God's word. Not all by what she said. She did teach him with her words, but she showed it by her walk. I've always said, as a youth minister of 10 years, I've always said the most difficult teenagers to try to equip in God's word are the parents who speak it with their lips but don't live it with their wives. They're so difficult because you're teaching your kid two different things. You're teaching your kid, well, we believe in Jesus, except when it's inconvenient, we're going to follow the world. We're going to follow Jesus when it's convenient, and we're going to follow the world when we want to satisfy our flesh. And Eunice said, no, I don't care what Lystra's going to do to us, her city. I don't care what her husband's going to do. We're going to live it out. And we're going to give a life of legacy through faith. And the last point, a legacy of power, love, and of a sound mind or self-discipline. Look at what verses 6 and 7 say right there. It says, for God has not given you the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and some versions say self-discipline, some versions say sound mind. But basically, a legacy of saying, you know what? We're not going to be fearful. We may be growing up in a culture that's hostile towards our belief, but we're not going to be fearful. We're not going to let that fear get to us. We're going to have a spirit, because God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but he gives us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So that way, when these attacks from our culture and the attacks from our kids' friends and all these attacks come, we're demonstrating it. We're living it out. We're showing God's truth to our kids. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to serve God. And we have to remember that. I think so often we feel like it's our job and we take it in our hands. Well, guess what? We're weak. We're weak. It's the Holy Spirit living in us that we must tap into. Because life is tough. You're going to have sleepless nights as parents. You're going to have sleepless nights as grandparents. We're going to have those times. But that's when we tap into the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And so as the worship team comes up, I want to ask us, what legacy are we leaving? What legacy are we leaving? Are we leaving a legacy of teaching our kids God's word, of demonstrating faith through trials, and of power and love and a sound mind? And I want to encourage us. I don't want to beat us up this morning, but I want to encourage us. This is biblical motherhood. And God has given you mothers a special gift. A gift that none of us, not a pastor, not a father, no one else can have. Of biblical motherhood to instill these things in your children. And so if you slacked, don't beat yourself up. But be encouraged by God's word and say, you know what? That's what we saw in 2 Timothy 3:16. God's word is inspired. And it's there to encourage us. When we get off track, hey, let's get back on track. All right. So let's not be discouraged. Let's be encouraged by saying, you know what? That is why God's put me as a mother. This is my role. If you're in here and you're truly struggling today, I want to encourage you. Scripture says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If you're in here and you're truly inside, yeah, we have our church faces on. It's Mother's Day. But you're struggling inside. You're truly struggling inside. Then I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning to come before the presence of God. Maybe you're here and neither one of those, you're not a mother and you're not really struggling. The third challenge is for you. What legacy are you leaving? What legacy are you leaving? See, Paul wasn't Timothy's parent, but he still left a lasting impression on him. So we're all called to leave a legacy. What legacy are we leaving? Is it about bringing God glory? Or are we caught up pursuing our own things? So this morning, I want to encourage us to allow God's word, the 2 Timothy 3:16, to allow it to penetrate the depths of our hearts this morning. So remember what biblical motherhood is. And let's remember every one of our calling to make an impact on God's kingdom. Let's stand and pray. Father, we love you. We praise you and we thank you for who you are.